Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you. Most religions and most philosophies have some element of what we call the golden rule. It was true in Jesus' time. There is a story about early Judaism where a student came to two rabbis that were standing next to each other and asked the two rabbis, "Can you explain to me the Torah, the law and the prophets, the Torah, standing on one foot?" And one of the rabbis was insulted. Says, "The most ludicrous, stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life. What on earth makes you think you can explain the Torah in the amount of time that you could stand on one foot?" Now I'm going to grade me here. I'm going to see if I can do this standing on one foot. I may not. My balance is not good. But the second rabbi lifts his foot and says, "Do not to others as you would have them do not to you." I'm going to have to balance myself. That is the sum of the commandments. Everything else is commentary. Put his foot down. Jesus has said something moderately similar to that by saying that this is the law and the prophets. This comes to us from the law and the prophets. Now, Confucianism has a very similar kind of golden rule as the one quoted by that rabbi. Do not to others as you would have them do not to you. Now that is superior to a crowd influence. There is no doubt about that. If you have options that occur out there, and we talk often about schools and bullying. What happens sometimes is that a powerful, charismatic individual on the school ground becomes a thug, becomes a bully. And so the playground mentality sort of follows that. And the Confucian understanding of that golden rule, that rabbi's understanding of the golden rule, would suggest that we are flawed when we go along with that herd group mentality. Jesus comes to us in this particular passage, which is out of the Sermon on the Mount. And throughout the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus invites us to come to a higher place. Over and over and over again, Jesus as the new Moses in Matthew, that's the way he's understood by the Gospel of Matthew, there's a new Moses, the new lawgiver, the new teacher. Throughout Matthew, particularly in 5, 6, and 7, Jesus will say things like, "You have heard it said, but I say unto you." And instead of lowering the standard that is of the day, Jesus instead raises the standard of the day. He calls people to a higher place, a higher understanding of what the law suggests to you should happen. And the passage that Grace read to us today, that we call the Golden Rule, which is also found over in Luke as well, reminds us that sometimes it's not so much about not as much as it's about action. The not element of it is a passivity. It's you could be dormant. You can sit on the sideline and not do something. And Jesus instead invites us to a place of action, a place of activity, a place of involvement. Adam Hamilton at Church of Resurrection in Kansas City, offers an illustration of the difference here. And we actually got a lot of rain yesterday. We could have had a situation where I'm driving down the road and I could see maybe Grace Acosta parked on the side of the road trying to change her flat. And I realize there's a puddle of water that's right there. And so I move my car to the outside, and I don't splash her with the water, and I drive on down. I just keep driving on down. So the passivity is the fact that I don't do anything extra beyond not doing to her what I would not want to have done to me, which is getting splashed by a car traveling 40, 45 miles an hour and saturating me. But Jesus' instruction, Jesus' guidance to us is to be more than to not splash grace. It calls for us to come around and pull up in front of her and say, "Can I help? Can I help? Can I be of some assistance to you?" Now, I understand that elements of this could be interpreted to move into a world of political correctness. And I want to sort of offer a caveat on that one. I hear people sometimes talk and they will have reflexive political correct responses out there. Let me offer you just one that I've heard in the last 6 months. I was at a gathering in Denver where I kept repeating over and over again about a category of church called the black church. The black church. And finally somebody said, "You know, I'm uncomfortable with you calling that the black church. You need to call it the African American church." Sort of leaned back for a second and said, "I'm not black. I have no idea how blacks want to be self-identified. But I hear no tremendous debate going on over February being called Black History Month. And so I just sort of think your reaction to this word black is, I guess I'm not going to sign on to it for the moment." And I use that because sometimes we have this idea of the golden rule is that we get reflexively politically correct. And I want to encourage us to not go there. That's not what I'm actually suggesting. Gary Chapman has offered us some insight into the language of love called the five languages of love. I don't want to go through all of them right now, but the idea behind the languages of love that Chapman lays out there for us is that we are invited to understand what the other, how the other understands love to be. There's times when we will attempt to say to someone, "I love you," and then do things around them that is not part of their language of love. What Chapman invites us to do is to get out of ourselves a little bit, to make the extra step, the extra additional step, and try to figure out what it is that animates that person and talks to their soul. I've used the illustration before from Genesis 3, where the first sin that's there is this idea for Adam and Eve that they want to be the center of the universe. I've used as an illustration before the fact that the dilemma we have is the fact that the way we see the world, we are the center of our universes. Think about it. Everything in our reality is defined through our eyes, our ears, our understanding. We are, quite literally, the center of our own universes, wherever we go, and it moves with us. It moves with us. And what Jesus invites us to do is to move beyond that, move beyond the idea of inactivity and be active in the world. Do some things that might be perhaps a little hard for us to do. Now, I would suggest to you that the idea of the golden rule, I want you to think of it rather than as a on-off, 1-0, black-white, this is not. I would suggest to you rather it's a continuum. It's a continuum. And the continuum begins with some element or a synonym that relates itself to being considerate. That's where it sort of starts, by being considerate. And it ends up over here on the other end, extreme other end, with people that are heroes. People that do the unusual. People that, instead of thinking only about themselves, think about others. Instead of moving, they move from an egocentric way of thinking to a sociocentric way of thinking. Instead of thinking about only themselves, they move to a place of thinking about everyone else. And that doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen overnight. Would it be that we could just snap our fingers and all of a sudden that would happen? My observation would be, Chapman's observation would be, Jesus would suggest, I think, in this passage, is that part of this for us is to understand that this movement requires a constant attentiveness to the rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I'm a baseball fan. Anybody know that? Is that new information to anybody? There was a outfielder for the Cleveland Indians, Boston Red Sox, Los Angeles Dodgers named Manny Ramirez. I've used this illustration before. And Manny consistently within the offensive and defensive elements of being a baseball player did bonehead things just over and over and over again. In the baseball world, he would do what we call throw to the wrong base. Means he would sometimes throw to second base when he ought to throw to third base. He would maybe throw to home when he ought to be throwing to second base. Those kinds of things. And so it requires you to have a situational awareness of what's going on in the game. You have to understand, your mind has to be in the game. All right? And people would turn around to like Joe Torre, who's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame as a manager someday. And they turn around to Joe Torre and they say, why does Manny do that? And the answer is, it's just Manny being Manny. Just Manny being Manny. Jesus, in this dialogue here, is saying, I reject the idea of you just being you. I reject the idea of just you being you. I call you to a higher place. You have heard it said, it's okay for Manny to just be Manny. And Jesus says, no. No, it's not okay for Manny just to be Manny. Jesus says, I think Manny should be more aware of his surroundings and his awareness of the world around him. And be prepared to do to others as he would like to be done, have it done to himself. That's a challenge. That is not easy. Adam Hamilton again tells the story of preparing for his sermon on this particular topic. And he had gone to some place in Kansas on a Monday, and it was a fish place, and they gave him some ideas about how they were going to move into a different idea, and they were going to start serving this roast pork. And so he ate fish on Monday, but he gets together with some other clergy people on Thursday, and he's at this same fish place, a different town, but it's the same chain. And he sits down and says, you know, I was at one of these places on Monday, and I ordered the fish. Today I've been invited to order the pork, and I'm going to order the pork, and we'll have the pork. So nobody says anything. They quietly sit there. And so the pork is delivered, and he looks up and discovers that he is the only Christian at this table. Everybody else is Jewish. He's getting ready to preach a sermon on being considerate. And what does he do? Now, of course, they sat there and said, those are our rules, those aren't your rules. But it would have been a considerate thing to have ordered fish at that particular meal. Philip Zimbardo is a psychologist, and he has a episode that he shows on the TED Talks. These are these little 20-minute snippets of wisdom. We're used to the idea of TED Talks. I come in and try to offer you a little 20-minute snippet of wisdom once a week. All right? So you have a TED Talk here once a week. And he offers this little bit of wisdom into us and says, and what he talks about is the psychology of evil. The psychology of evil. And he talks about it in terms very similar to how Jesus talks about this particular opportunity here. Now, one of it is the rejection of the herd. What Zimbardo suggests is three things can happen when you have an unpleasant situation there. Okay? You can become part of the herd, part of the mob, part of the group, and you can become completely corrupted by that. All right? Or you can do sort of the second thing, which is what I interpret to be the Confucian, the rabbi's remark, is that you can step back and you can be inactive. You can step back and do not. Okay? And you're not doing it. You're not doing anything. The group is doing it, but you're not. All right? Or you have the third option, which is to be a hero. To be a hero. Now, the dilemma we have is the fact that so often we hear these words, don't get involved. You ever heard that? Don't get involved. Don't get involved. Jesus is saying, get involved. Jesus is saying, get involved. Take an action. Be active in this. Zimbardo would suggest that to be a hero, you have to learn to be a deviant. To be a hero, you have to learn to be a deviant, because you're always operating against the conformity of the group. Heroes are ordinary people whose social actions are extraordinary. They are the people who act. Now, I do understand the difference between celebrity and hero. I really do, all right? But has anybody in the room here not heard of Paris Hilton? Good. You make my point. And what has Paris Hilton ever done besides be born into the Hilton family? As far as I can tell, and I didn't generate days of research on this, but I generated more than a few minutes. As far as I can tell, Paris Hilton has done nothing other than be a celebrity. And I would wager, if I wasn't a Methodist pastor and allowed to wager, but I would offer to you the idea that perhaps there are people out there that see Paris Hilton and they say, I want to be like her in some kind of way. Now I'm going to flip the question around the other way. Has anybody in this room, other than those who got my email on Monday where I was laying out what I was going to preach on, so you don't raise your hand, all right? But has anybody in this room ever heard of a guy named Wesley Autry? Good. It makes my point. Wesley Autry is a black man standing on a subway station station wall near where it falls off and there's the electric stuff down at the bottom. And he's got his two kids there. That's two kids. Construction worker. Surrounded by everybody else there on the platform is white. Something happens to somebody on the platform. They get knocked off, bumped off, had a momentary attack of some kind, whatever, and they fall off the platform. And there's a train coming. There's a subway train coming. Now, by any normal indication, Wesley Autry should have done nothing. He didn't. Turned around, he took his two children very quickly, handed them off to two people standing there and said, "Take, watch my kids for a second. Plan to come back. Plan to get back." And he jumped down and he got over the top of the individual who was trying to get up, and he wasn't going to make it because the train was going to get him before they could get out of the mud and muck and that kind of stuff. And he gets over on top of him, lays down, and presses him down. They later came back and they analyzed the fact that the height between the bottom of the track and the top of Wesley's back was 20 and a half inches. A New York City subway train has 21 inches of clearance. 20 inches, 20 and a half inches, 21 inches. And as the train rolls over them, the guy he's riding on top of is fighting to get up, fighting to get up. "We're going to get killed, we're going to get killed. No, we're going to get killed if we stand up." Presses him down. They then go in to get him and pull him out, and they just said, "I can't believe what you just did. That's incredible what you just did." His response was, "I did what everybody ought to do. I did what everybody ought to do." I would suggest to you that there's probably 75 people from that subway stop who are envious of the bravery and the courage and the heroism that Wesley showed that day. They continue to write little articles in the New York Times about him on the 5th anniversary, 10th anniversary of him having done this. He's still a hero. Still a hero. Zimbardo argues that the heroism of a Wesley Autry doesn't happen overnight. It happens by encouraging our children, encouraging our youth, encouraging our young adults to do unto others what you would have done to you. It's more, far more than just passively standing back and saying, "I'm not going to do to them what's being done by everybody else because I wouldn't want that done to me." At that point in time, as a person is running the risk of being humiliated or their life is being terminated, What Jesus is saying is that you're invited to go to a higher place and be active. And Zimbardo argues that that doesn't happen overnight. It happens sequentially, slowly, over time, but just encouraging our children, our youth, our young adults, in order to be courageous and to be heroes. The simple truth is that we are invited to understand the golden rule. The reality, the complexity, is that the golden rule is more than passivity. It's more than making sure that I don't splash grace with my car, with the water from the puddle as she's trying to change her tire. It's the courage of a lifetime of paying attention to the details of life. A lifetime of paying attention to the details of others and trying to move to be considerate. And part of this idea of being self-aware enough to be able to say, I think this is important to Susie. I think this is important to John. I think this is important for me to understand what is important to them. That's hard work. That is hard work. And it requires us to get out of ourselves a little bit. It requires us to move from an idea of self-absorption. It requires us to move from a world that is centered in ourselves and is rather centered in the world of the other. Six simple truths. But this idea of treating others as you would like to be treated yourself is something that warrants daily work, daily maintenance, daily exercise, so that when you have a chance to be a Wesley Autry, second nature. It's just second nature to you. It becomes part of who you are. I think it's sad that we know who Paris Hilton is, and we don't have any idea who Wesley Autry is. But my guess is there's hundreds of thousands of people like Wesley Autry out there that we don't know their names, who, at a moment when they could have made a choice of being indifferent, of stepping back and not being active in the situation, they made the choice to be active and to do what we ought to do rather than not to do what should not be done. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, the idea for us today is to understand the simplicity of the truth that's associated with this idea of the golden rule and understand that it's something we just can't pull out of our rule toolbox one day and all of a sudden activate it. Must learn how to use it, must become familiar with it, and move to a place of deeper, richer, more fundamental understanding in all that we do. And all of God's children say, Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.